शलाकया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपागता मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगणरघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिचनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे कौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता की जय सो टुडे वी विल बिगिन या विल बिगिन चैप्टर 9 द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज सो इट्स अ वेरी नाइस यू नो इन द परपोर्ट्स Prabhupada elaborates, you know, why this is called most confidential knowledge, you know, and why it's important to learn this in the association of devotees. So we'll share with you the sections as given by Guruji and Prabhu. So 1-3, hearing, what are the qualifications of hearing and disqualifications? 1-3. And 4-10 is Aishwarya Jnana, that means Krishna's relation with the material world. 10. Krishna's relationship with the material world. 11-25. Fools neglect bhakti, but divine don't. Basically, who take up bhakti, who don't. Fools neglect bhakti, divine don't. 26-34, last section, glories of devotional service. 26-34, glories of devotion service to Krishna. So why it's called most confidential knowledge is, it's going to talk about pure devotional service. It's called most confidential because not many people can enter into that mood. People can hear it, but not many people can actually acquire it. Acquire pure devotional platform. That's why it's most confidential, secret. It's open secret, they say, right, sometimes. Everybody knows, but not many people can actually acquire the qualification of pure devotional service. So in 8.14, 8.22, Krishna talks about ananya, this word ananya, unalloyed devotion. So that what is that unalloyed devotion is elaborated in this chapter. 8.14 he says ananya cheta. 8.22 he says ananya ananyaya. Bhaktya labhyastva ananyaya. Ananya means unalloyed, means single, undeviating. Ananya. So that ananya bhakti, what is that unalloyed devotion, is elaborated in this chapter. Right? Okay, so we'll see this first verse is spoken by Krishna. So he's going to give qualifications of, you know, receiving this knowledge, most confidential knowledge. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha इदं तु ते गुह्यतमं प्रवक्ष्यामि अनुसूयवे ज्ञानं विज्ञानसहितं यज्ज्ञात्वा मोक्षैसि सुभात. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." So what Krishna is saying is, Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, never, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization. So knowledge along with realization. After we know this, what will happen? Will be relieved of miseries of material existence. That means, even in this world, we will be liberated. Right? Even though in this world we undergo same situations like everybody else goes through, like health issues or, you know, accidents and everything, but still our heart is with Krishna, like transcendental. So, some of the important points here is saying, you know, because you are never envious of me, he is revealing the most confidential knowledge. So some practical example we have given, right? Like, for example, we have lot of friends. Some are close friends, some are, you know, far friends, some are like, you know, high by relatives and all. If we have to share some success with them, let's say I get a promotion, or let's say, you know, I'm carrying, or like some secret, like some very, very special news, like we want to share with somebody, we'll not share with anybody who is, you know, at least knowingly we know they are envious, we'll not definitely not share with them. Right? Because their envy will increase. They will not wish well for us. They will only curse us. We want to share with somebody who can give us blessings. Right? So friends who are non-envious will give us blessings. So similarly, that's why Krishna is saying, this my secret, this secret of devotional service, I'm going to give it to you. Because you are not envious of me. It's my treasure. I'm going to give it to you. And by this, your devotion will increase. Otherwise, envious people will become more envious. If they tell, you know, how Krishna is great, how he is conquering the whole world, he is the controller of the whole thing, then they will become more envious. You know, why he, I am the one, or, you know, I am God. So we'll read the, you know, most of the purports we'll read directly. You know, it's so nice. We'll read the first paragraph.
As a devotee hears more and more of God, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed among us devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Krishna says he is going to give the knowledge and realization. So the realization occurs in the association of devotees. If that knowledge is discussed among the association of devotees, then the realization happens. Okay, so next paragraph.
The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him the intelligence to understand the signs of Krishna in the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very, very potent. And if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in the 9th chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed.
So some points Prabhupada is saying, Krishna understanding the mentality and sincerity of a living entity gives him the intelligence to understand the signs of Krishna in the association of devotees. So what is this verse? We discussed many times, right? Where Krishna from within gives the knowledge for a living entity to come to him. What's that verse? It's Tesham Satatyuktam Nam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Enamam Vipayantite. It's 10:10. Where Krishna says, I from within gives the intelligence by which they can come to me. So, and in order to encourage Arjuna, now he is giving more confidential knowledge. So, we can read the next paragraph. The very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So, is now Prabhupada in this paragraph is going to talk about different sections of Bhagavad Gita. What is about initial section now, what's in the middle. That's what he's going to talk about next paragraph. The very beginning.
chapter is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. And in the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. Topics discussed in the seventh and eighth chapters are specifically related to the devotional service. And because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they are called more confidential. But the matters which are described in the ninth chapter are dealing with unalloyed pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material thanks, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of material existence, he is to be considered liberated. Similarly, when we shall find in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter that anyone who is engaged in that way is liberated, is a liberated person.
Yeah, we can pause there, Mataji. So what is the divisions Srila Prabhupada is giving is, first chapter is introduction, no? Setting the scene, what happened in the battlefield, all those things, right? Second and third chapters are called confidential because it talks about the eternality of the soul and temporary nature of the material body, right? The differences, you know, what is a soul, it's not immutable, it's not cut, it cannot be, you know, withered by wind, all the characteristics of soul which generally we don't know unless we... Right? How many of us knew all these things before we came to Krishna consciousness? So those are also confidential. It's given in the beginning chapters. And 7th and 8th, they talk about mixed bhakti, right? Yoga Mishra Bhakti as well as, you know, 8th is Jnana Mishra Bhakti, attaining the Supreme. Right? So so they talk about related topics related to devotional service, but not really completely unalloyed devotional service, which is only covered in chapter 9. That's why it's like, you know, very, very important chapter. So then, okay, we'll read the next paragraph also.
Now this first verse has specific significance. The word idam jnanam, this knowledge, refer to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. By the practice of these 9 elements of devotional service, one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleared of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. Simply to understand that a living entity is not material is not sufficient. That may be the beginning of spiritual realization. But one should recognize the difference between the activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not the body.
So we can pause there. So again, Prabhupada is saying, so pure devotional service consists of 9 different activities. So generally, you know, the conception is devotion means it's a sentiment. We don't know. We cannot define devotion initially, right? Okay, how can you measure somebody's devotion? Like if there are 2 people are given, what is a way in which we can measure somebody's devotion? So for us, everything is very scientific and given very, you know, nicely. So devotion is expressed through these 9 activities. So how much ever somebody is engaged 24 hours in these activities, that much is their devotion. That's the measure. So actually in some context, I don't know who is that spoken, they spoke this. That actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think, he said, I don't want to judge a Vaishnava based on their birth, because these are all material, right? Their birth, their activity, their current way, the family they are situated. So I don't want to judge a Vaishnava based on their birth, their, you know, family, and you know, whether they, you know, female, the color of their skin. I don't want to judge a Vaishnava based on this. I want to judge a Vaishnava. Then how that means, and you don't want to differentiate people. There should be some differentiation at certain, based on certain thing, right? So how do we differentiate who is an advanced, who is a, you know, level equal to you or equal lower than you? So you can act appropriately, right? Advanced people you serve, equal to you make friendship and serve together, and people lesser than you, you help them to become more Krishna conscious. So this is called healthy discrimination. This is needed in spiritual life. So then how do we do that? I don't want to judge based on externals, then he said, I want to judge based on their attachment to the chanting of the holy name. So how much one is attached to chanting of the holy name, that much is their advancement. So then we can judge for ourselves, you know, where we are based on that, you know. Because now this completely elevates us beyond all these material conceptions, right? How much we are attached to chanting the holy name of the Lord, that is our measure of advancement. Then, you know, then other than that, there are 9 processes, hearing, chanting, remembering. These are the very variegated ways in which we can express our love for Krishna. So somebody challenges, right? Oh, you know, in my heart, I love Krishna. Why should I show? It's a show. Devotees are making a show. They dance on the road. You know, they try to offer, you know, make, always go and keep praying. It's making a show. Right? I have love for Krishna in my heart. Krishna is in my heart and I have love in my heart. Why I should make a show? So then Radhanath Maharaj was telling in his lecture that what's the point of love when it's not expressed? Right? Love means it has to be expressed. So he was giving very practical example. Like usually it seems he meets a lot of grihasthas, right? He meets a lot of grihasthas. And he says, you know, this is a typical problem everybody has, but I am visiting all of them, but I know exactly, you know, for them it's a new problem. Each family feels, you know, I'm first time going through this. But he knows everybody goes through this. You know, it's a common problem. So he said, every time often wife complains, you know, to husband, you don't love me anymore. That's often, no, oftentimes they say. Then Maharaj asks, you know, you don't love your wife? Then he said, no, Maharaj, I love her so much, you know. Okay, but do you ever express? No, she already knows it. Why should I? Why should I express? She already knows that I love her. Then he has to tell practically, no, you have to give her some gifts, you have to at least tell, you know, I care for you, something. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't work. Love means it has to be expressed. Otherwise, you know, there is no, you know, communication, then there is no understanding. So that's how we express our love for Krishna through these 9 processes of devotional service. Because we love the Lord, we want to hear about the Lord. We want to chant about His name, right? Hearing, chanting. Then we want to remember Him, right? Then serve Him, then worship Him, then pray, obey, and then like, you know, all this obey His orders and maintain friendship with Him and completely surrender everything to Him because we love Him or we are beginning to love Him. So these processes we do in the beginning stages of sadhana bhakti and also when we are perfectly situated in pure bhakti. Still we continue to do the same thing. Okay, so then we'll read the last paragraph. Yeah, please read. Yeah.
The Sanskrit word
Anasuyave
in this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly or are enemies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately. Because they are enemies of Krishna, their commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is enemies. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. So such commentaries should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial.
So then regarding the point of envious, Krishna Prabhupada is telling only non-envious people can understand Krishna as he is, because to them only Krishna will reveal, because he is telling, right? Because you are non-envious, I am going to reveal. So by design, or rather by definition, then people who are envious don't know exactly what Krishna is. So whatever commentary they write about Krishna is going to be speculation, because Krishna is not going to reveal to them. Because this knowledge is not what we make up out of mind, right? Krishna has to reveal, then only, you know, Prabhupada, whatever is written, Prabhupada said actually, you know, these are not my commentaries. Krishna dictated, I wrote it. I don't know whether it means literally or... And also Prabhupada took so much pleasure in reading his own commentaries actually, you know, when devotees read Krishna book and all. Then somebody asked Prabhupada actually, you know, Prabhupada, you only wrote this book. Why are you relishing so much when somebody is reading your own book? No? He says, no, but this Krishna Katha, you know, this I did, that's when he told actually, you know, I didn't write it, Krishna dictated, I wrote it. So, for the pure devotee, Krishna reveals himself so much, that's why everything is bona fide. It's, you know, properly in proper context. Otherwise, non-envious, they write the commentary of Krishna, but they deny Krishna completely. Prabhupada said, actually, you know, if you want to write your own book, because Bhagavad Gita is very popular, so it's very easy to take a book and say, you know, I'll write a commentary, and in a commentary by this acharya, that acharya, they make a book and they publicize, because Bhagavad Gita itself is popular. So then said, Prabhupada said, you know, if you are so, you want so much popularity, you write your own book. Why you want to take Krishna book and, you know, Krishna's book and spoil it? Right? You make your own book and make popular if you can do. Why you want to take Krishna's, you know, statements and want to spoil? Then another incident is there. Like one of the scientists, some philosopher or scientist, I don't know exactly, or lecturer, professor, I think. He read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. He was a non-devotee. He read it. Like, you know, how a scholarly person reads it, you know, analyzing, you know, what is, you know, like they do very logically, right? Like, not like how devotees read it. So they try to understand logically, and then he came to conclusion that he was a little bit, you know, challenging. So he said, you know, Swami Prabhupada, actually, in every verse, it's not the really Krishna. But he made sure every Prabhupada, every purport, he said, Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, Krishna is Supreme Personality. He kept repeating. So he was challenging, you know, it's not there, but you said it. Then when Prabhupada heard this, he said, you know, he got the point. That's exactly what I did. I didn't want anybody to miss that Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. So it's like, and another, practically we can see, you know, why this is a potent, or rather, you know, pure presentation of Krishna is, we can see by the results, how it is transforming people. So many Gitas are there, so many versions are there, how many versions are actually really changing people's hearts? How many people are changing their lives based on this, right? But Gita is presented as it is, Edatadam. It's presented Edatadam, that people can actually, they are changing their lives based on this. That shows that it's so pure. So we'll go to the next verse, text number 2. This is a very sweet verse. This basically, it glorifies devotional service. There are so many, like almost 8 or 9, I didn't count actually, to characteristics of pure devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is going to explain each of this phrase. I don't know how many of you read the verses before coming, but you know, each of this phrase is going to elaborate, and he spends, like, so we are also going to spend the time reading the content of the purport and discussing some points. Text number 2. Rajavidya rajaguyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamanam dharmyam susukam kartum avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education. So this knowledge is nothing but pure devotional service, or the most confidential knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is a perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Did anybody count how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Purest knowledge, direct perception self, 4, 5 is perfection of religion, 6 is everlasting, 7 joyfully performed. So, so many characteristics, glories of pure devotional service actually. So, we'll see what Srila Prabhupada comments about each of them. So, first paragraph. Its first paragraph is going to, if next to the Bhagavad Gita, if you want, you can write down. It's going to talk about Rajavidya, king of knowledge, first paragraph. We can read.
This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the king of education because it is the essence of all doctrines and philosophies explained before. Among the principal philosophers in India are Gautama, Kannada, Kapila, Yajnavalkya, Shandilya, and
Vaishnavara.
And finally, there is Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra. So there is no dearth of knowledge in the field of philosophy or transcendental knowledge. Now the Lord says that this ninth chapter is the king of all such knowledge, the essence of all knowledge that can be derived from the study of the Vedas and different kinds of philosophy. It is the most confidential because confidential or transcendental knowledge involves understanding the difference between the soul and the body, and the king of all confidential knowledge, culminates in devotional service.
Mm. So basically why it's called king of education is, there's so many types of knowledge is there. First of all, we have this material knowledge, mundane knowledge. We have spiritual knowledge. Within spiritual knowledge, there's so many other, you know, philosophies, you know, what is the relationship between me and super soul. There are different types of, therefore, at least four types of Vaishnava philosophies. So among all of them, this ninth chapter is the most confidential knowledge, because the essence of all that knowledge, ultimately when somebody acquires the knowledge, if somebody is said to be really knowledgeable, no, in terms of, you know, real essence is that they submit their life as a surrender unto Supreme Lord. So that is a symptom of knowledge. Otherwise, so much ever, you know, we get degrees, PhD, all those things, if that doesn't, you know, make him submit to Supreme Lord as a servant, then it's useless basically, you know, because next life they are going to again do the same thing, right? But the essence of knowledge is to actually come to pure devotional service to the Lord. So that is said in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa sarve ahameva vedyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. So it says, the last two lines, he says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So all the Vedas, what's the goal of Vedas? If somebody read all the Vedas, the goal of the Vedas is to come to Krishna finally. So one who comes to this pure devotional service to Krishna, he has read all the Vedas and he has fulfilled all the purposes of the Vedas and austerities. We read that verse, right? All the austerities and all the sacrifices, everything is already fulfilled. Because this is the essence. After reading all this knowledge, like for even Sankhya Yoga, right? They try to investigate what is the root. Okay, who created, what are the divisions in my body, all the material elements. They analyze scientifically. Then they find out, okay, who created water, who created earth. Like that, they keep going to find the root. So after all that investigation, everything, when they find the knowledge, then what are they supposed to do with the root? They have to serve the root. So when they find out that Krishna is the one who created, then they say, oh, then let me surrender to Krishna. So when with all this knowledge, finally has to culminate in devotion service to Krishna. That is the perfection of knowledge. Okay, so then we'll go to the third paragraph where Prabhupada is going to talk about supreme secret, Raja Guhyam. So this is the most secret of all secret. So why is it secret? So we'll see that in the third paragraph.
The Bhagavad Gita, especially from the second chapter on, stresses the importance of the soul. In the very beginning, the Lord says that this body is perishable and that the soul is not perishable. That is confidential part of knowledge. Simply knowing that the spirit soul is different from this body and that its life is immutable, indestructible and eternal. But that gives no positive information about the soul. Sometimes people are under the impression that the soul is different from the body and that when the body is finished or one is liberated from the body, the soul remains in a void and becomes impersonal. But actually that is not the fact. How can the soul, which is so active within this body, be inactive after being liberated from the body? It is always active. If it is eternal, then it is eternally active. And its activities in the spiritual kingdom are the most confidential part of the spiritual knowledge. Mm. These activities of the spirit soul are therefore indicated here as constituting the king of all the knowledge, the most confidential part of all knowledge.
Mm. So why is it secret?
Activities of the spirit soul.
By taking a pure devotional service, one can realize what are the activities of the spirit soul in the spiritual world. So that part is not known to us. First of all, we don't even know that we are spirit soul. We don't even realize, right? We don't even act in the spiritual platform. So that's why he's saying, you know, first, second chapter talks about, you know, you are not the body, you are the soul. Even that we don't realize. Beyond that, you know, we have a spiritual form, we have a relationship with Krishna, we have a certain dress we wear, certain service we do. Those details are given for one who perfects this pure devotional service. That's why it's more secret. So then next paragraph he's going to talk about pure. Why is it pure? We can read.
This knowledge is the purest form of all activities, as explained in Vedic literature. In the Padma Purana, man's sinful activities have been analyzed and are shown to be the results of sin after sin. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities are entangled in different stages and forms of sinful reactions. For instance, when the seed of a particular tree is sown, the tree does not appear immediately to grow. It takes some time. It is first a small sprouting plant, then it assumes the form of a tree, then it flowers and bears fruit. And when it is complete, the fruit and the flower and fruits are enjoyed by persons who have sown the seed of the tree. Similarly, a man performs a sinful act, and like a seed, it takes time to fructify. There are different stages. The sinful actions may have already stopped within the individual, but the results or the fruits of that sinful actions are still to be enjoyed. There are sins which are still in the form of a seed, and there are others which are already fructified and are giving us fruit, which we are enjoying as distress and pain. As explained in the 28th verse of the 7th chapter, a person who has completely ended the reactions of all sinful activities and who is fully engaged in pious activities, being freed from the duality of this material world, becomes engaged in devotion service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, those who are actually engaged in the devotion service of the Supreme Lord are already freed from all reactions. This statement is confirmed in Padma Purana.
Continue, Prabhupada. For those who are engaged
in the devotion service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all sinful reactions, whether fructified in the stalk or in the form of a seed, gradually vanish. Therefore, the purifying potency of the devotion service is very strong, and it is called Pavitram Uttama.
The purest. We can pause here, Prabhupada. Yeah. So actually, I didn't mean to read the first paragraph, but anyway, we read it. So main thing, first paragraph, what we read just now, describes about how a sinful act leads to reactions, and the reactions has different stages. Like, you know, initially it's a seed, like how a plant grows, then it's as a seedling, and then there is the different spirit. What is this? Sanskrit names for this: kuta, bija, like that. There are five terms. Then there is one which is already bearing fruits. That means it's already manifesting, which whatever we are facing now. Like, you know, if you are getting disease now, that means the sinful reaction is already bearing fruit, whatever we are getting the reaction already. So everybody has this in different phases. So somebody may already facing some reactions, but some are there already in seed form, that to happen later on in next some lifetime. That's why we keep coming lifetime after lifetime to get these reactions. So, like, by doing certain type of activities, we can stop the sinful activities. But the seeds, the sinful proclivities will not go away easily. The tendency to commit sin will not go away. But bhakti is so powerful, it not only vanishes the reactions, it also removes the tendency to commit sin. Right? Because you get so much higher taste in devotional service to the Lord that you don't even feel like, rather, you know, the tendency to commit sin will completely get eradicated. So powerful, actually, devotional service. So that's why, you know, Krishna also says abhichetsu duracharo, where he says that, you know, 9.29, I think. Yeah. Even if somebody commits the most abominable activity, but if he is engaged in devotional service with determination, he should be considered saintly. He got it, but this is abominable action is not by intention, it's by accident. Because of his previous conditioning, let's say somebody is smoking and drinking so much for 25 years and suddenly they take up devotion service very seriously. And somehow they end up meeting some old friends, and by matter of, you know, the relationship and by the environment or something, they just maybe smoke and they come return back to devotees, and devotees say, you know, you are fall down. Now, he should not do like that, as long as he is fixed up in devotion service. Because the devotion service is going to purify those sinful tendencies also. So Krishna says, you know, he is to be considered saintly. Because why? Because devotional service is very, very potent. This is very, very crucial for our faith in our bhakti also, actually, you know. That I don't have capacity. It's not me, actually. It's not my ability. Devotional service to Krishna is so powerful that even though I have so many limitations, so many, you know, conditioning, so much things by which I am pulled back, Krishna and devotional service is going to raise me above all these things. So if you have faith in this statement about devotional service, then we'll be very peaceful in devotional service. It's very pure. So can anybody share any of your, you know, some of your experiences, how because of this strong devotional service, some of your, maybe, you know, some tendencies or some, you know, conditionings or some things have been vanished or, you know, helped to deal with easily. Some of, you know, practice, so that we can all, you know, our faith becomes more and more strong. If everybody can share, you know, what things we used to do earlier and how now somehow, you know, we are not able to relish the taste, you know, like that kind of. Everybody has some things. You can share with.
Okay, so when I got married, I want to be always with my husband. So most of the time, you know, he's busy with something also. Like, even I used to share in the, because most of the classes we attended together, even I used to share that.
Oh.
I want to do the job wherever he works. I want to do the job in the same office, in the same team.
Oh.
It was my desire that time.
Now it's being fulfilled.
So, but now I got like, I'm more focused on the books and
totally changed. Yeah. But now Krishna fulfilled that desire now. Yeah, when he had purified of that desire, Krishna gave that desire. So you don't enjoy. See, that's how Krishna does. Okay, very nice. Yeah. You want to share, Mataji, something? You don't have anything. Mataji, you want to share something? Anybody? You want to share this? Sau Prabhu? Anything, you know, which like... Mataji, you want to share something?
Krishna consciousness, I don't know anything about Krishna before, but I used to watch a lot. But
shows, TV shows and...
TV shows and everything. I used to enjoy like anything, putting everything aside. I used to play games and everything. But now, somehow, if I end up seeing something or something, I feel so bad. Why I'm wasting by watching videos or playing games? Or I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Hmm.
Even if I talk to my friends in the phone also, if they are talking something which is not related to Krishna, or if they are talking about other friend or telling some things, I feel like, oh, I need to
stop this
and I need to do lots of important things I have to do, and I'm wasting my time. In that way, I'm thinking, but I'm not using the time as correctly as possible, but I'm trying.
Mm.
Thought is there, but I need to implement.
You want to share anything, Mataji and Prabhuji? Yeah, same here. Something's burning.
Manjasin,
okay. I think it overflowed into the stove.
Yeah.
Yeah, same for me also. Like, you know, I used to watch so much TV, like in my home, so much, 24 hours. Like that. But somehow when he came here, anyway, not so much. We don't have so many friends also. Somehow that, and you busy at work and all that went away. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, yeah, I think main thing is, yeah, I used to go to gym every day almost. You know, either aerobics or swimming, alternate day. You know, I had a proper schedule to follow. I was not married by that time. Nicely. It's like, you know, addiction or whatever. I had a routine. I always used to be having a routine and doing some things. But then, you know, somehow devotees were trying to help me become more Krishna conscious. So we were staying just opposite to devotee's home, right, in Bellevue. So Madhav Gopinath Prabhu, he was only trying to also arrange marriage and all. So he was slowly telling, you know, why don't you go to temple every day and attend Aarti nicely, you know. Then I said, oh, it's too much to give. Maybe I'll do once a week, you know, once a week I'll go. And that too, from Bellevue, I have to drive to Samamish and do all this. I did once a week, then slowly twice a week, thrice a week, everything. So instead of going to gym every day, now I go to temple every day, eat prasadam, pack for next day and come back. You know, that's how I used to, slowly we replaced it. So
Mataji, I still go to gym. At least I listen
to on the way. Yeah, there is nothing, sorry, I didn't mean to say there is nothing wrong in going to gym. It's, you know, body is an instrument for doing devotional service, so we should keep it fit as much as we can. That's the thing. Yeah, everything has a role for everything. Okay, so then So we'll go to the next one. It's a very important, another characteristic is called Pratyaksha Avagamanam, means directly perceived. That means the results of devotional service can be directly experienceable. So that's the next paragraph we'll read. It is said that the execution of devotional service... Yeah.
Said that the execution of devotional...
Oh, Mataji, that may not come. You can lift this one.
It is said that the execution of devotional service is so perfect that one can perceive the result directly. This direct result is actually perceived, and we have practical experience that any person who is chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, in course of chanting without offenses, feels some transcendental pleasure and very quickly becomes purified of all material contamination. This is actually seen. Furthermore, if one engages not only in the hearing but trying to broadcast the message of devotional activities as well, or if he engages himself in helping the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, he gradually feels spiritual progress. This advancement in spiritual life does not depend on any kind of previous education or qualification. The method itself is so pure that by simply engaging in, one becomes pure.
No, very nice. So Prabhupada is saying these results are directly perceivable. So we can say to ourselves that we are making progress. Right? So somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we know, measure, you know, are we making progress in spiritual life? Then we can see to ourselves whether our attraction to Krishna and Krishna related activities are increasing and our attraction to materialistic activities are decreasing. So that's the way we measure, we are making progress. So everybody can measure to themselves. Then another example is given, like how Pareshanubhuti, like how when we are hungry, when we eat food, we know exactly when we are full. Like, you know, our husband or wife need not come and tell, okay, you are done, enough, you know, you stop it now. Of course, they are merciful, they tell us because we are overeating. But we can tell to ourselves when we are full, right? So similarly, devotional service, as we are making progress, we can tell to ourselves we are making progress. Nobody else can tell, you know, Prabhu, whatever chanting is not working, actually, you know, it's useless, don't do it. But we are feeling the taste. How can somebody tell? I experienced the same thing. When I was coming to Krishna consciousness, I had other friends also, right? So I was like slowly coming to Krishna consciousness. And here we didn't still yet establish, like, you know, close relationship with friends, and there were not many Matajis that time. You know, Prabhus were cultivating, and it's difficult for us to, you know, have a close relationship. So I was just trying to, you know, take up based on what I experienced. So I used to come and I used to be so happy, you know, I used to love it, like, you know, the home programs, especially Kirtan and Prasadam, discussion. I didn't have any single doubt or hesitation about the experience. I had so much, joyful experience. Then when I go back and tell my friends, you know, it's so nice, you come, you also, you know, you'll have fun. They say, no, you know, it's actually very bad, it's brainwashing, you know, they are going to change you. I was thinking, you know, but then my experience doesn't say like that. I trusted that actually, luckily by Krishna's mercy, I trusted my experience and I said, okay, let me invest in this. Otherwise, you know, if I would have carried away with their words, then maybe, you know, I would have been somewhere else. But somehow I felt I experienced something else. I never experienced this happiness earlier. So let me invest in this and continue and see what happens. So that's what, you know, when we experience that higher taste and that happiness, if some Mayavadi or somebody comes, you know, Krishna doesn't have any features, what are you serving, whatever you're offering, he's not going to accept it. Same plate is there as it is, you know, like that somebody says, then we feel, you know, what is this, you know, if we cannot, you know, understand, appreciate what they're saying. So that's the wonderful thing about this devotional service, is that we can only experience as it is. Then Prabhupada gives example about Narada Muni, how he was initially a son of maidservant. He didn't have any qualification or devotion as such. But his mother served Bhaktivedantas or sages for the Chaturmasya month for 4 months. And she was cooking prasadam, offering them. Then the sages were doing their sadhana and all, accepting prasadam. And they used to leave the remnants in the plates, you know, Mahaprasad. Then with their permission, Narada Muni once said, they took their permission and said, can I have their prasadam? They said, okay, you take it. Then he served them menially and he took their mahaprasadam. And since he started taking mahaprasadam with the blessings of the sages, he started experiencing the same taste in chanting and hearing about the holy name of the Lord. So initially he didn't have it, but just by the mercy of the pure devotees, because of their blessings, he also started experiencing the taste. So that's what Prabhupada is saying, he directly experienced the taste now. He also tells in this verse that, you know, Narada Muni, that I got the, simply by engaging in this acts of devotion, I also got the same taste which the taste Bhaktivedanta's had. So you can feel it, basically, you can feel the difference. Okay, so then next one, Dharmyam, path of religion. So this is like, you know, two, three, after the, all the Sanskrit verses, the word Dharmyam means path of religion.
Narad was actually the son the son of maid servant. He had no opportunity to go to school. He was simply assisting his mother, and fortunately his mother rendered some service to the devotees. The child Narad also got the opportunity, and simply by association achieved the highest goal of the religion. The highest goal of religion is devotional service, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Pumsham paro dharma yato bhakti radukshate.
Religious people generally do not know the highest perfection of religion is the attainment of devotional service. As we have already discussed in regard to the last verse of chapter 8, generally Vedic knowledge is required for self-realization. But here, although Narad never went to the school of spiritual master and was not educated in Vedic principles, he acquired the highest result of the Vedic study. This process is so potent that even without performing the religious process regularly, one can be raised to the highest perfection. Mm. How is this possible? This is also confirmed in Vedic literature. Acharya Vahan Purusho Veda. One who is in association with great acharyas, even if he is not educated or has never studied the Vedas, can become familiar with the knowledge necessary for realization.
So the point is, even though Narada Muni was not educated, so called, in all these Vedas, everything, because of the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas, he got the highest perfection of religion, which is nothing but pure devotional service to the Lord. So that's why, you know, these are not criteria. All the criteria is to have just, you know, sincere desire to perform devotional service. And also, why, how is it possible? Because of spiritual master or Acharya Purusha Veda, means the Bhaktivedantas have given that adhikar to him. Similarly, you know, our spiritual Prabhupada and all his disciples are qualified enough to uplift us wherever we are to that highest position of Vaishnava situation. You know, so, okay, so the next one is Susukam. It's very happily performed. We are all happy doing devotional service. Sometimes we feel, oh, it's too much. So let's see, you know, why then, if you're not happy, then we should check with ourselves, you know, what is wrong with what we are doing. But otherwise, it's by definition, it's supposed to be joyfully performed. That means by rendering it, one is supposed to be very happy. The process of devotional service is very happy.
The process of devotional service is very happy one. So sukham. Why? Devotional service consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge given by authorized Acharya. Simply by sitting, one can learn, then one can eat the remnants of the food offered to the God. Nice palatable dishes. In every state, devotional service is joyful. One can execute devotional service even in the most poverty-stricken condition. The Lord says,
Patram
Pushpam Phalam Toyam. He is ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering, never mind what. Even a leaf, a flower, a bit of fruit, or a little water, which are all available in every part of the world, can be offered by any person, regardless of social position, and will be accepted if offered with love. There are many instances in history, simply by tasting the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages like Sanat Kumara became great devotees. Therefore, the devotional service, devotional process is very nice, and it can be executed in happy mood. God accepts only the love with which things are offered to him.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so first point Prabhupada is saying is, all the processes which are involved in devotional service are very happy ones. It's not like, you know, you have to cut your hand to do serve Krishna, right? It's not so grueling. These are all very sweetly performed, easily performable tasks, like chanting, hearing, dancing. One incident is right there, right? One somebody challenged Srila Prabhupada, you know. Okay, we are telling all this whole life, we sing, dance and chant. What if, you know, at the moment of death, there is no Krishna. Whole life I invested in following your process. But at the moment of death, if I figure out there is no Krishna, I wasted my life. Then Prabhupada said, like, you know, whole life you are anyway suffering. If you don't chant, take up devotional service. What if at the moment of death you figure out there is Krishna? We are anyway, by doing this process, we are happy doing it. All we have to do is sing, chanting, dancing and feasting. It's happiness, you know, what is there in that? We are happy doing it. And at the moment of death, if Krishna is there, because Krishna is there, we are going to be safe. But what if you waste this whole life and the moment of death you figure out there is Krishna? Then what is, future life is also waste, right? So that's the point, you know. And the other thing, this is very crucial thing about devotional service, is that Krishna doesn't accept the things. It accepts the intent behind the offering. He accepts the bhakti, he accepts the love of the offering. So Krishna doesn't care about things. He owns everything. He has everything. Everything is his. Only thing we have to renounce. Somebody said, Prabhupada, you know, I want to become a renunciate. Now, what do you, Prabhupada said, what do you have to renounce? What do you own in the first place to renounce? Everything is his only. We have to renounce the idea that is mine. Right? So that's false pride, false claim that this is mine. That's what we need to renounce. So Krishna accepts the love behind our offering. Like, you know, this example is given Ganges. People go take bath in Ganges. They take a handful of Ganges, say prayer and say, Ganga Mata, I'm going to offer you with this love. Please accept it. So does Ganges feel something less because water is taken, or she feels something heavy because water is given to her? No, it's her water only, right? But she accepts the love with which we offer. That's what she's seeing. So it's like that. Very nice. So whatever we are offering to Krishna is given by him only. But what do we gain by doing this is that we are showing our love and Krishna is seeing our love. Okay, so the next paragraph, he's talking about eternally existing devotional service. It is said here.
It is said here that this devotional service is eternally existing. It is not, as the Mayavadi philosophers claim, although they sometimes take to so-called devotional service, their idea is that as long as they are not liberated, they will continue their devotional service. But at the end, when they become liberated, they will become one with God. Such temporary time-serving devotional service is not accepted as pure devotional service. Actual devotional service continues even after liberation. When the devotee goes to the spiritual planet in the kingdom of God, he is also engaged there in serving the Supreme Lord. He does not try to become one with the Supreme Lord.
So devotional service is both means and the goal. So right now the means to attain perfection is devotional service. And what, so Prabhupada, somebody asked question to Prabhupada, you know, what's the goal of your chanting? You are chanting Hare Krishna, what's the goal of your chanting? Prabhupada said more chanting or more pure chanting, right? So it's not like, you know, at certain point we'll realize, you know, we are not this body and then we are one with God and we stop everything. So it's like you climb the ladder to reach a position, kick the ladder. You take up devotional service to come to a certain position, transcendental position, and say devotional service is bogus. It's not like that. So even Radhanath Maharaj, in his encounter for, when journey for in find the spiritual life, when he encountered many sadhus and also, he encountered one sadhu. He was a Ram Bhakta. Very, very sincere, very, you know the story, Baba? He read this. Very, very ardent devotion, so-called manifesting. Maharaj was very impressed. He never saw somebody like so devoted, always saying Ram, Ram, always telling his stories, always telling everything about Ram. Then he felt, you know, oh, if at all I have to become a devotee, I have to become like him. Then suddenly, I don't know in what conversation, he only said actually, you know, then that person said to Maharaj, like, you know Maharaj, why I, like that time he was not Maharaj, what is this material name? Okay, you know, why I am chanting Lord Ram's name? Then he said, I don't know, because one day I'll become Ram, he said. That's all, finished. The whole, this devotion, everything is finished, spoiled, right? So it's all contaminated basically, right? Thinking that we'll become one with the Lord. whole thing is then immediately he left him. Like, oh, this is not supposed to be real devotion. He left him. Okay. So we'll read the last four lines, which summarizes the whole thing again. Thus, the process of devotional service.
Thus, the process of devotional service of Krishna consciousness is the king of all education and the king of all confidential knowledge. It is the purest form of religion, and it can be executed joyfully without difficulty. Therefore, one should adopt it.
So the point about all these things of Sri Prabhupada elaborating so much and also Krishna's words, what is the point?
Everyone should adopt.
One should adopt it with great eagerness and enthusiasm. So if at all, okay, all of us have already adopted it. So if at all there is any hesitation or lack of faith, you know, about what is going to give us or anything, at least now it should help us clear some of this, you know. We should feel it's so glorious, you know. I am so fortunate to have been in touch with this process, you know. Somehow I am chosen actually. I am so fallen that somehow I am being given this opportunity, right? So let me take it seriously and see what is it for me. Okay, text number 3, we'll read. In this verse, Krishna is going to tell who cannot. So the question is, if devotional service is so joyful and so wonderful, why people don't want to take it up? That's the question arises. So that's the answer he's going to give in text number 3. Ashraddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vatmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Okay, so how to make progress is, here the criteria is given. One should be faithful. So if you are not faithful, even though we are familiar, if we are, acquainted? Yeah. We have been given the process of devotional service, and let's say we know everything, all the in and out of devotional service. But if we are not faithful, if we are still having doubts, then we don't make progress. Then again, we return to the cycle of birth and death. So the question, the decision maker is whether we have faith, whether we have doubts. But if you don't have doubts and wholeheartedly you accept it, then we make progress for sure. But still have, oh, Mataji is telling all this, but you know, maybe she has something else in mind, you know, maybe she wants me to come always and cook for the Friday program, that's why she is telling all these things, right? Or maybe something, you know, all these maybes will come. That means it's all doubts. So if those doubts are there, then, you know, of course initially we may have, but after some time it should become very fixed. At least we should invest sincerely, then slowly after some time with Krishna's mercy these doubts will go away. But it's not like, you know, I'm already, I have the best association, I have best family for making devotions, practicing devotion service, everything is there. Year after year, still I'm chanting, but still I keep asking the same question. Oh, does really chanting work? Oh, what am I doing with my life? Is it really worth it? If you still keep asking that thing, then obviously, you know, you're going to be circling back in the same doubts. You're not going to move forward. Okay, so we'll read third paragraph. Now Prabhupada is going to talk about the role of faith in devotional service and how it has different divisions. You know, there are persons who are advanced and Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. They have different degree of faith, and that's how people are to be judged. So we'll see, you know, how then we can judge where is our faith. So the last paragraph, last paragraph. Now the development of that faith in the process of Krishna consciousness.
Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfection stage. Most probably, they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have a practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as
okay, we can pause there. So So Prabhupada spent quite a bit of time explaining the third category or the lowest category of faith, where people, they don't have much faith, they're just coming in with Krishna consciousness or devotees. So anytime if situation is more favorable with respect to family or economic development, then they may give it up. Because they don't have firm conviction that devotional service is a, what is my goal, that I have to make it my goal. So they come because of misery, you know, family issues or something. They come because I don't have happiness there. I come, I experience some happiness, and again maybe I find some other husband. Then, oh, okay, now I'm happy again, so I don't need devotional service. So they don't have, they cannot make progress. So same thing may apply for us also. We should judge, you know. So what is the, we should check with ourselves, you know, why we are in Krishna consciousness. We should ask ourselves, why we are in Krishna consciousness. If we come back to the answer that, at least for me, I felt this is what, if we come back to the answer that I am in Krishna consciousness because I want Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna, then we are safe and secure. Because, you know, we are going to do anything and everything, whatever situations happen, we are going to tolerate and go through the situation such a way that we can do that. But okay, if you ask ourselves, then it's like, oh, I'm in Krishna consciousness because, you know, oh, anyway, my family life is suffering. No, there is no other option. My husband is taken up, so I'm taking it up. Or, you know, there is no choice. Or, I don't know exactly, you know, I really have to think about it. All these things, then we have to really think about what we are doing exactly. No, we should come, at least I'm telling you, I'm hopefully sharing what should be the goal. Okay, I want, Krishna loves me. And that's the only way, solace to all the problems is to go back to Him and love Him. So that's exactly what I want. So once we have that and we are fixed in that, then we can just go about, rise slowly in the faith. So now Prabhupada is going to talk about the first class person. As far as the development of faith is concerned,
automatically have firm faith that Krishna Bhakti or service to Krishna is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but the association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has a faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency towards karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, we can pause there again. So Prabhupada is describing the first class and the second class. The first class are people who have complete knowledge about the scriptures, about the path, and they are assured that, you know, this is the topmost goal they have to attain and everything, right? So there is no way they can fall down. They are fixed up. Even Mayavadi comes and argues, they are not going to shake. They are completely fixed up. Second class people, they have conviction that this is the best course for me, you know. That's what I was sharing. That, you know, Krishna, I want to achieve Krishna. That's what I need to do. And they don't have much knowledge about the scriptures, but little bit they have. But third class people, they don't even have any knowledge about scriptures. Actually, talking about all of this, it makes it very clear that becoming familiar with the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is so crucial for advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not like, you know, I'm married, my husband attends classes, but I keep, you know, offering puja at home. That doesn't work. Then you'll shake. When somebody, you meet somebody else who says something else, you'll fall down. You know, in the sense you... So that's why it's crucial, because it's part of bhakti actually. We are not acquiring knowledge here. Reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it's not like you're acquiring knowledge in the sense of mundane knowledge. That is going to make our bhakti strong. So it's very crucial. Luckily, fortunately, here we have systematic courses by which it can help everyone, whoever is eager to make their bhakti strong. So then, we can read last five lines. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna. Eulogy.
Find the path very difficult. Even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service, for them there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service.
So again, the same point, you know. Okay, I know what is, how Krishna is great. I know what, how great is devotional service. But still, I cannot put my trust in this. Then he said, so devotional service is going to be very difficult in that case. Because if you don't have faith, you cannot invest yourself. Because when we know for sure this result is going to come, and this is the result we want, then only we'll apply ourselves. If you're not sure about the results, or if you're not sure about the path, then we cannot apply. So that's, faith is very important in discharge of devotional service. This is the same point Krishna also says elsewhere, right? For a doubting soul, there is no happiness in this life or next life. Right? I don't know which chapter it comes. So that's the same point he's repeating. So if we have, after hearing the glories of devotional service, what's the criteria is? So gradually we should, our faith should increase. How will the, what is the practical ways to increase the faith? Definitely initially when people come, it's not like everybody has staunch faith in Krishna or Krishna consciousness, right? So what are practical ways to increase our faith? Sadhu Sangha. Especially association with advanced devotees help us increase our faith very quickly, because they have that advanced faith. When, like how Narada Muni was blessed, so if they are pleased and happy, suddenly we will see that, you know, we will have, our faith increases in devotional service. That's very much very important, very, that's the key actually. If at all, for any progress in devotional life, best is the shortcut path is to somehow serve advanced devotees and get their mercy and blessings. Yeah, we can stop here then. Any questions or comments about?
Bhattaji, these three categories, you know, that doesn't cover the person who does not have the knowledge but still has faith. That would be a person, because the first class is, you know, they are perfect in the scripture knowledge, right? And they have firm faith as well.
That's the third class. Person who doesn't have knowledge from the scriptures, but he still has little faith. That's the third class. That's what he said. Prabhupada said he doesn't have much knowledge about the scriptures, so he may fall down.
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
Yeah. That's how we all start. Then gradually with association of little bit more advanced devotees, we'll raise up, we'll get knowledge, we'll raise up to Madhyama.
So in this theory, like faith is going up and then knowledge is going down, something like that, right? So third class, they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have
No.
Third class,
they don't have knowledge, they have little faith.
Yeah. Actually, here the way it's all spread out, categories, like from, I would rather create a chart, like if I were doing Bhagavatam or something, I would have created a chart, you know, first class, second class, third class, what are the different things, very easy if you do. Somebody who is doing a summary should do it. And who is supposed to do summary?
Garima Mataji,
yeah. So you should create a chart, first class, second class, what are criteria, you know, who, knowledge, faith, how they happen, and who falls down, who doesn't fall down, then it becomes very easy. We'll do that, I think. Okay. Any questions? Any other things?
So why these categories? We have to like strive to achieve the next level, or we have to always think of associating with the next level people? What is the
motive behind these categories? That's why I said it's called transcendental discrimination. It needs to be there. So we know exactly, it's very crucial for devotional service, as Rupa Goswami said, to act appropriate to our level. Otherwise, what happens? If you don't know how to distinguish who is advanced, who is equal to you, who is lower than you, especially we'll commit offenses. We'll think advanced person as my friend, or we'll tell, you know, bring my chappal, something like that. Then we'll commit offenses. right? A neophyte person, we think, you know, he is advanced, and we start revealing our mind to him, saying, you know, oh, I have this issue, you know, this with my husband, you know, can you please tell me how to solve it? So neophytes or people who are new, we are not supposed to reveal our mind, ask them for solutions. Because they are going to give only materialistic solutions. Then our faith will get disturbed. So it's important to know, that's why, where is everybody situated? Where am I situated? Where is everybody situated? So I can appropriately make progress in devotional life and deal with everybody accordingly. It's not offense to judge. It is not judgment. It's based on the shastric, symptoms. We are just I don't know what's a better word for judgment. We are finding out where everybody is, we are figuring out how best to serve everybody else. What's the best way to serve? Because how to serve everybody is given already. Advanced devotee, you have to hear from them, you have to serve, menially serve them, right? Washing their clothes or anything, whatever we can do. With peers, the way we serve them is to do service together, like cook together for a program or hear something together or do something together with them. For new people, the best way to serve them is slowly, somehow based on their situation, where they're situated, slowly bring them to Krishna consciousness. Maybe, you know, give them prasadam or, you know, make them, engage them, you know, make them, okay, can you help me make garland, slowly like that, based on their level. So the way, why we are making these categories, or one has to do it, is so we know what's the best way to serve everyone. Basically, that's the point. It's not how I can put somebody down. It's not that's a material way to see things. That's the point. Yeah, that's why it's a Krishna consciousness is not utopian. Everybody is devotee, everybody is pure devotee. No, it's not like that actually. One Mataji was telling, I made some statement, so she didn't like it. So she was telling, I'm missing my friends whom I came Krishna consciousness together, because there is a different things you share with them actually. People who grew in Krishna consciousness with, they're basically your friends, right? That's why I'm talking about peers, basically your peers. So the sharing, what you share is very different when compared to like new person who is coming, let's say after 5 years you came, you cannot share many things with them. At least that's what I experienced. Because they cannot understand your feeling, the emotion you have, they cannot understand that. So I was sharing I'm missing that all my friends, Rasika Mataji, Vishaka Mataji, all these people, they left a different city. I said I was missing. And I was saying, everybody whom I meet now are relatively new people. So that's what the rasa I was missing. And she was feeling offended. She said, what do you mean relative new people? I find Madhavi Mataji and Navya Mataji, they are actually very, very advanced. I feel I'm very subservient. They are actually very surrendered and advanced. I would not think I'm better than them. So then I didn't understand where I'm wrong. I thought maybe it's some message Krishna is giving, so I didn't want to, argue or anything. But I was thinking, maybe in my heart also, maybe I felt, okay, maybe I have some false ego, by which I'm thinking, see, it's okay to think where everybody else is there to serve them appropriately, but it should not make us think we are better than them. Then it's material consciousness. Then we'll become proud. So I was reflecting so much about this, what is this, what mistake I'm making, what is there wrong in my consciousness, all those things. Then finally, I figured out that, there's nothing wrong. I asked so many people, so many things, there's nothing wrong. Then finally, Radhakrishna Prabhu only I asked, then he told, Prabhu, is it like artificially we should think that everybody is advanced? Then that means, I should ask them advice, what does it mean, But I know they may be fixed up, but they're relatively new. So there's something they can learn with respect to, principles, how we should hear, which I have heard earlier. I've heard more, right? Little bit more, number of years, which I can share. The mood of sharing, not mood of, okay, I know better, you better listen to me. Not like that, right? So that's a way to do. Then he said, yeah, that's how it is. Whomever you meet, you try to share about Krishna. Then that's the best way to do. It's not artificially, we can't uplift somebody saying they are more advanced than me and then think that, then where, how can I serve them? So that's the point, So at least it re-clarified, and Mataji was there also in that meeting, and Radhakrishna was speaking, so at least, it was she was again asking the same question, and again Prabhupada clarified that. So at least I felt safe that my understanding was correct and what I was acting was correct, like that. So, but the thing is, again, what I felt was, what I need to watch out is, I should never think I'm better than others. It's just that I somehow received it earlier than others, I'm just passing it on. But if these same people like Madhavi Mataji and Navya Mataji, whom she was glorifying, if they would have probably come to Krishna consciousness earlier to me, perhaps they would have been even more advanced than where I am right now. No, just that who got it first, that's about it. So, the very, very, like, you know, nuances of devotional service is too much for you probably, but yeah. Okay, you can stop here. It's okay, Mataji?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hare Krishna.